Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you once again for tuning in for an hour of prophetic facts. The website that carries what I'm about to share with you and a lot more is www.remnantofgod.org. I pray what I am about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones, and I also pray that you're going to be able to share it with as many as possible. Before starting, I want to implore you to please stay tuned to today's broadcast to its end. I just received breaking news regarding the London attacks that proved the police were in on it. I was, as I was compiling my notes and articles on this broadcast, the proof came in. So I was unable to move it to the front of the program or top of the stack or whatever you want to call it. I did, however, have to place more of your emails on the back burner for now. So at the end of the broadcast, you are most assuredly going to want to hear this breaking news. So please, stay tuned. All right, the first article. And this is the actual headline. I mean, I couldn't have made this thing up if I tried. The headline reads, Canadian National Public Radio Broadcasts Call for State Control of Religion, Especially Catholicism. This is on LifeSiteNews.com, July 19, 2005, out of Ottawa. And it was on a couple of other news magazines as well. The article goes on to say, it says, just as Senate approaches the final vote on gay marriage bill C-38, Canada's national public radio, CBC Radio, has aired a commentary by a retired professor from the Royal Military College calling for state control over religion, specifically Catholicism. While parliamentarians dismissed warnings by numerous religious leaders and experts that such laws would lead to religious persecution, former Professor Bob Ferguson has called for legislation to regulate the practice of religion. Okay, let's hold off here for a second. The article never intimates as to what type of professor or what Bob Ferguson is. But later on in the article, he does admit to being an engineer. What confuses me is how such a man is able to make such claims on a national radio program. Well, I guess if you have something to say that blesses the powers that be with even more power, well, you're going to get your 15 minutes of fame. So, but anyway, the article goes on to say, it says, given the inertia of the Catholic Church, perhaps we could encourage reform by changing the environment in which all religions operate. Ferguson began his commentary in measured tones yesterday. Couldn't we insist that human rights, employment, and consumer legislation apply to them as it does other organizations? Then it would be illegal to require a particular marital status as a condition of employment or to exclude women from the priesthood. Who would have thought that after all this homosexual talk in the media, as well as the new laws in Canada, that such a mindset like this would surface? I mean, how convenient, you may ask. Well, guess again. I mean, Canada is known for its extreme liberal and evil desires, so what better place than Canada to try the waters on public opinion on this particular topic? I mean, we've seen everything from Bibles being legislated as hate speech to laws allowing homosexuals to wed in Canada. I mean, it's an easy-to-see end result that such an evil government would be used by Satan to ensure the image of the beast a place to flex its muscles. I mean, come on, when the Club of Rome comes to a reality, and the world has already been sectioned off into those 10 separate kingdoms that they're talking about, that Prophecy Revelation 17:12 predicted, I mean, they even called it 10 kingdoms like Revelation did. We will see Canadian laws enforced on the entire North American continent, as well as all the rest. All they're doing is just ironing out the kinks. Ferguson continued. He goes, of course the Vatican wouldn't like the changes, but they would come to accept them in time as a fact of life in Canada. Indeed, I suggest many clergy would welcome the external pressure. Well, hold on a second there, Professor. The Vatican not only embraces these changes, it suggested them as well as created them long ago. I mean, the word Catholicism in English means universal. I mean, one would think a professor would know that. Prophecy states an image of the beast will be set up so as to enforce the mark of the beast. The Vatican has all along been a church and state, which prophecy directly identifies with a woman on a beast, because a woman is a church in Jeremiah 6:2 and a beast is a nation in Daniel 7:23. So why wouldn't they embrace that which they have been preaching for eons to all the nations anyway? This ministry has collected so many articles where the Vatican has been pushing a church and state form of government to any nation that will listen that I literally had to split the page four times because the amount of articles became so numerous. In fact, I eventually had to stop researching that topic altogether because of the overkill. I no longer update that section of the website. It's in my old article section of the website menu now. Just click the submenu heading in that area where it's named World Church / Government. There is so much evidence that this is their agenda that it can only be debated by those that never read newspapers, history books, Bibles, or even watch the news. I mean, come on, to say the Vatican wouldn't appreciate a change, this particular change, is a bold-faced lie simply designed to make it appear as if the Vatican is not involved again. This is what they have literally lobbied, preached, pressured, persecuted, and even tortured and killed millions for ever since Roman Catholicism came to life in 538 AD. This is what they want. This is their goal. And this is what they have reignited as an agenda ever since the Lateran Treaty was signed between Rome and Italy in 1929, after Napoleon knocked them out of business in 1798. Anyone that has followed the movements of this church, as well as what prophecy says this beast will do, knows full well this is all her doing. The prophecies are so blunt and so accurate, it's no wonder they rewrite the Bibles. If the people that read Bibles get wind of this, the Vatican would be in a heap of trouble. So to prevent this, Rome has been attacking their Bibles and their use since 1229 AD, when they actually put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books. I mean, if you were caught with a Bible, you'd be killed if you didn't turn it in to be burned. I mean, get your hands on a King James Bible and do some historic research into these prophecies, and you too can see this plain as day. And if you need any help defining these symbols that are in Revelation or Daniel or anywhere else in the Bible, send me off an email at questions@remedygod.org, and I'll show you what the Bible says they mean. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'll tell you what the Bible defines them as. That way you too can verify it yourself with your own Bible. All right, so continuing, it says the former professor pitched his idea as a boon to religious freedom. Wait. How do you generate religious freedom by taking religious freedom away? I mean, that made about as much sense as a penny. You can double talk this all you like, professor. It won't make common sense appear any less strange. When you place checks and balances on any organization, especially a religious one that is guided by the Creator God himself, you are seeking to control a bit more than you or any man was created to do. Now you're messing with God's direct will and his order of things. How, I ask, does this generate a boon to religious freedom? Continuing, it says, we could also help the general cause of religious freedom by introducing a code of moral practices for religions. He said, they will never achieve unity, so why not try compatibility? Can't religious leaders agree to adjust doctrine so all religions can operate within the code? Well, there you have it, folks. The real idol of this man shows its ugly face. Scriptures described in numerous areas a God in heaven that does not change. A God that gives command to bless where no man can change in Numbers 23:20. A God that was, I mean, he had literally written his law in stone. Not marshmallows, but stone to show permanence. And a God that has predicted they would try this with uncanny accuracy in his prophecies. Professor Ferguson unknowingly suggests we take the doctrines of this God and manipulate them so as to generate a global group hug. Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. What Professor Ferguson is proposing is a direct fulfillment of that statement Christ said. Can you imagine? He actually said religious leaders would or should adjust their doctrines so as to operate within the code of the government. Well, isn't doctrine something God writes? How can man change that? I mean, seriously, where have I heard this before, though? That's right. On my site, I have a page in the warning section of the website that is called Roman Catholic IRS. At present, in the United States of America, if you want a 501c3 tax-free status, you must adhere or adjust your doctrines to Roman Catholic doctrine, no matter what denomination you are. If you don't, you're never going to get that tax-free ID number. All I see happening in Canada, London, or anywhere else in the EU is Roman Catholic Church is testing out its doctrinal theories so as to best suit its needs. I mean, this is, at the same time, it's quenching any opposition to it. It appears the professor is Catholic, for if Professor Ferguson was anything less than a Catholic evangelist, he would never have made such a statement as this. Only the Vatican will benefit by such a structure, and only the Vatican will be able to enforce such a structure. No other religion on earth is designed to handle such a social or a societal configuration. This was prophesied by the very God they mock. And this is happening exactly as he predicted. Ferguson is merely a mouthpiece to try the waters. I mean, will the weak need Protestant preachers speak out? I doubt it. They want this just as much as Rome does, especially since the One World Church began. If you doubt this, investigate Pat Robertson and his so-called Christian coalition and their Roman Catholic desires for a church and state conglomerate right here in the States. And again, if there was a Protestant preacher against this, what Vatican-controlled media mogul, or mogul, however you pronounce it, in his right mind, would air such a preacher? I mean, seriously, is it any wonder my broadcast was pulled off the air years ago in Oregon? They truly feared Rome and its long arm. They have no faith in the God they proclaim as Lord. They are no different than the Pope standing in a bulletproof Popemobile. They have all the faith in man and his abilities, but none in the Creator of man. Sound familiar? That, too, was prophesied for our day. Check out Romans chapter 1 when you get time. Make special note of verse 22 and down. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and down. All right, continuing, it says, Ferguson would see religion regulated by provinces in the same way professions are regulated. I am an engineer, so the model I am thinking about is rather like the provincial acts regulating the practice of engineering, he said. For example, engineers must have an engineering degree from a recognized university or pass qualification exams. They must have a number of years of practical experience and pass an ethics exam. The different branches, mechanical, electrical, civil, and the like, have a code of practice that applies to everyone. Why can't religious groups do the same? Professor, they do that. Well, the real ones do. However, like any crooked corporation, you will always see men and women stepping up to pulpits to do work they were never called to do. I mean, the prophets of old saw this, and even there were some false prophets of old that stepped up saying, God has said something, and he never did. This has led many down the path of sin and caused many doctrines of demons and traditions of men to be embraced by these so-called pastors or whatever, who have never been ordained. But those that truly allow God to guide them draw close to him. So close, in fact, that their very steps are ordered on a daily basis. Problem with this professor's theory is that it's based on a massive lack of faith in the very God he purports to worship. His theory shouts boldly, God cannot control his people, so we got to do it. Again, this is no different than the Pope driving down the road in a bulletproof Popemobile as he shouts, God can't protect me, but those that seek my, from those that seek my life. So I guess I'll have man protect me with this bulletproof shield he invented. I mean, could you imagine David, when he was a ruddy youth, thinking this kind of a thought as he ran towards Goliath with those stones? Or what of the three worthies as they were tossed into the furnace of fire? You know, no one seems to have any faith anymore. And sadly, that too was brought forth in prophecy long ago. Continuing his comparison, Ferguson stated, I envision a Congress meeting to hammer out a code that would form the basis of legislation to regulate the practice of religion. Like the professional engineers, P and G designation, there would then be RRPs, or Registered Religious Practitioners, to carry the analogy to its conclusion. No one could be a religious practitioner without this qualification. Let me ask you, does he really expect to stop all those Christians that were prophesied to walk in the same spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist embraced to stop cold in their tracks right now? It's strange how uneducated a professor can be. I mean, Satan couldn't stop John the Baptist or any prophet in the past with such rules and regs of men. What makes him think he'll be able to stop those that come in the spirit of Elijah today, especially when the latter rain falls more abundantly than did the former rain? You can hammer out all the laws you want, and you'll never move the elect to go against the will of the very God that created all that you see before you. Sure, you'll get some Christians to clam up out of fear, but that's because they haven't been allowing the Lord to educate them in the areas of trust yet. Or should I say they haven't been divinely registered as of yet. All right, the article goes on to say that Ferguson also suggests obvious prohibitions on religion, including preaching of hate, he says. I won't try to propose what might be in the new code, except for a few obvious things. A key item would have to be a ban on claims of exclusivity. It should be unethical for any RRP to claim that theirs was the one true religion and believers in anything else or nothing were doomed to fire and brimstone. Again, where have we heard this before? Not only in the Roman Catholic ecumenical agenda, but in the Roman Catholic IRS law, it states, you cannot claim to be the one and only true church. You must allow for people to join your church if you want your tax-free status. If you want that 501c3, you must allow people to join your church without having them leave their previous churches. To proselytize would result in a rejection of tax-free status and would result in financial penalties that would most likely destroy you and anyone else on your church board. What this professor suggests is not just mere words that will be embraced by all that hear. What he suggests will force the government to place literal penalties upon any and all that deviate from the prescribed government norm. Again, I ask, how is this religious freedom? This double talk, I mean, this is... And the amazing thing that's bugging me is they're letting this guy speak on national radio. Continuing, it says, one might also expect prohibition of ritual circumcisions, bans on preaching hate or violence, the regulation of faith healers, protocols for missionary work, etc., says Ferguson. Ah, yes, let's leave no stone unturned. Get them all under your thumb. That should stop Christ from returning, don't you think? Well, fact is, this is the true agenda, whether he realizes it or not. The Vatican is literally a vat of sin, and they know for a fact they do not want Christ to return. This is why the Pope said back in the 90s that the world is not coming to an end. If they can slow his arrival, or even foolishly think to stop him, as most 33rd degree Vatican prelates agree, is their desire, they will have heaven, or their version of it, or rather, should I say, hell on earth. The retired professor concluded his comments aired on CBC yesterday morning saying, now, what is the point of proposing this? I do it because I'm worried that the separation between church and state is under threat. Oh, are you confused? I'm not. But it appears he is. Isn't it strange how Satan can convince someone that black is white and vice versa? I mean, what Professor Ferguson proposes is, in fact, a removal of church and state separation. He is literally echoing what Rome has stated for centuries. Governments must have a religion controlled by the government. This is the exact way the Vatican is designed. It is a church and a nation at the same time. And as prophecy said, she wants her image created globally so as to ensure her mark upon all who reside on this planet. What's strange is this professor is saying church and state separation are threatened, and his remedy is to have the state regulate religion. Double talk? No, it's just called brainwashing, actually. Rome has always said if they declare evil good and good evil, their people must go against all they believe and actually see right before them if the church says so. Don't believe me? Listen to these quotes. This is out of the Grand Rule or the Spirit of Exorcism of St. Ignatius, page 141. This is written by the Jesuit, the first Jesuit, the guy that invented the Jesuit order, Ignatius de Loyola. He said, for an inferior readily to declare his assent and consent to his superior in act of obedience when he says the snow is black or the crow is white, we should always be ready to accept this principle. I will believe that the white that I see is black if the hierarchical church defines it as such. There you have it. This is one of the reasons for the mindset of Professor Ferguson. Continuing, the article says, religion is important in our lives, but it can become a danger to society when people claim that the unalterable will of God is the basis for their opinions and actions. Well, judging by their fruits, the fruits of this man, actually, one can see that this professor is not following our Lord Jesus Christ or trusting his written word. If he was, he would know that God's word declares in numerous areas that the will of God is unalterable. The fact he is proposing all that prophecy predicted proves that perfectly. He can't even get out of that. The prophecy is going to come true whether he wants to alter whatever he wants to alter. It's not going to matter. Sadly, this professor appears to be putty in the hands of Antichrist. Pray for him. He is about to have a rude awakening. Hopefully, it will be one that sees him repent before long. Again, the article goes on to say that, yes, religion can be a comfort and a guide, but we cannot take rules from our holy books and apply them to the modern world without democratic debate and due regard for the law. Professor Ferguson, what you just proposed is in fact the direct opposite of biblical jurisprudence. We cannot take man's suggestions, or his books, from the law books, and apply them to the Ancient of Days holy book. and regard his word to be useless for the sake of man's desires. I don't care how much democratic debate you have. We ought to obey God rather than men. Folks, this is going to happen in all nations very soon. Some nations won't be as bold as Canada because Canada is merely a testing ground. The somewhat conservative nations have the same agenda, but they do so in a more gentle and hidden manner so as to prevent public outcry. Canada, or should I say the Canadian people, are merely their government's guinea pig for end times laws. So pray for the Canadian people because their leaders are putting them through the ringer. What we see happening here has been quietly happening in the United States for decades. Let's just take George W., for example. George W., being a born-again Christian, supposedly, and saw, or he became a born-again Christian, and then saw how his decision to use God in his politics helped him gain office. As governor, he used his so-called faith to gain or change the relationship between churches and big government almost immediately. His newfound faith was the springboard he needed to cinch the 2000 and the 2004 elections. And if it wasn't for Clinton and all his evil ways, the American people's desire for a holy man in office, it's all designed in advance, folks. And then George W.'s first executive order was to establish an office to help in funding religious groups. Of course, this ignited a firestorm over church and state separation in America, which was easily quenched by Pat Robertson's so-called Christian coalition, as well as other mainstream Protestant preachers that speak more on political issues than they do on gospel issues. And then directly after the government planned 9/11 attacks, Bush was overwhelmingly blessed with the opportunity to actually preach and bring biblical themes of good and evil, as well as his definition of God's will, before the American people daily in his so-called somber comments. There are even what the world calls Christian singers, with clips of Bush's comments in their videos to further push this church and state, agenda forward. So yes, what they're doing in Canada is nothing more than an investigative study on how the people will react to religious laws. Couple that with the craftiness of the Bush administration and his predecessors, you will soon realize the image of the beast right here in America and then throughout the world. The nice thing about this is that Jesus is in fact coming back. Soon, all this is going to be history, or should I say prophetic fulfillment. Now, this next article is more or less the same flavor, only the United Kingdom places a different twist on it. Why? Well, it's like I said earlier, they need to test the waters to see how much static it generates. If there's too much resistance in one area, then they need to turn up the heat in another. Truth is, this is how Satan works with tempting the individual. When one area of the individual, or the Christian for that matter, becomes a problem for Satan to tempt because they have grown strong in that area, he regroups, backs off a little bit, and then he goes to attack in another area that the Christian has allowed him a foothold in. This is why footholds are so dangerous, people. These are the aces up his sleeve. Don't give the devil any foothold whatsoever. And when you see a foothold in your life, get on your knees and ask the Lord to get rid of that little, dinky, little, mini little... It's not even a problem for you at that time, the little foothold. Because the devil's attacking you in the areas where you're weak. But while you're praying to get strong in those areas, ask the Lord to also get those little footholds out of your life too, because the devil's going to use that. It's going to backfire in your face. All right, we've only got about a couple of minutes left in the this half of the broadcast. But to give you an idea of what this next article is going to be about, the headline reads, Anti-Hatred Bill Would Protect Minority Faiths. This came out on June 9th, 2005, and I felt it fell right in place with what's going on in Canada right now in regards to what Professor Ferguson desires. So hopefully everything that we see happening is opening up the eyes of more and more and more Christians, because it's you can kind of see this happening in the United States of America right now, where you got a bunch of Christians asking for everybody to meet together in one state or just move to this. I can't remember the name of the state that they're doing this in. I think it's South Carolina. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this. But the fact of the matter is, they're looking to gather all the Christians into one state and try to do some kind of a Christian form of government there. Boy, talk about your church and state conglomerate there. Plus, what better method by which to corral the Christians into one big area? Think about it. Wouldn't that make the government's job that much easier? if they get you all in one place. Common sense to me. You know, when they need to enforce the market. I mean, look at the suburbs of today. I mean, just look down on them from an airplane or something. Everybody's packed in like sardines. It's not going to be very difficult to enforce martial law. All right, looks like we're out of time for this portion of the broadcast. Please stay tuned. And don't forget, at the end of the broadcast, I do have some breaking news in regards to the London terror attacks that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the police were involved. So please stay tuned. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.